Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Cloudy day in L.A. If your chi is up, then your blood's flowing and you don't feel cold. Have you gone out and stretched your tendons so that you feel nice and warm in that very, very brisk December air? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is not a show about herbs. It's a show about function, how to function better. And if you need herbs to do it, then so be it. But more importantly, fundamental to herbal nutrition is understanding how the body functions. And we're going to get into that today because I have another gangbuster topic for you. Now, if you've noticed over the last 4 weeks, even 6 weeks, what I'm having an absolute joy doing is going into the old literature. And I'm pulling up cleanses, concepts, notions about health that were once legion, upstanding, that led the forefront of what we call nutritional therapy today. But they had a different slant, and they were researched by different groups of people. And what I'm getting at is something that I'm realizing more and more. You see, the last 50, 60 years of nutrition have been a little bit biased. And the reason is it hasn't been researched literally by the types of people we had 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we weren't really using pharmaceutical drugs. 150 years ago, we were at the golden age. We were beginning an age in science where we were starting to develop microbial technologies, real micro technologies. We were using the microscope. We were using experimentation to understand physiology and chemistry and things that were unparalleled in world history. And the people that did this were the best. I have a picture of one of the best on my last picture. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Hopefully you're on the website, picture number 18, the older gentleman with the beard. That's Metchnikoff. Now, I've brought him up before. Metchnikoff was one of the early microbiologists. He was the equal of Louis Pasteur. And they are credited with different perspectives in microbial theory. But the point is that Metchnikoff understood two things. Number one, he understood that what you call bacteria, what you call the microbe, what you call the microbial titer, in other words, in any given moment, the amount of infection that you don't know you have, that's kept under lock and key in the body, that's suppressed so you don't have symptom. But at any given moment, the overall microbial ecosystem in your body is controlled by the aggressivity of your white blood cells. How aggressive they are, how active they are. And number two, the terrain. Now, this is very different than Pasteur. Pasteur, although I don't really think he started that way, he ultimately became credited for focusing on how to kill the microbe, and that was sort of an interest to chemists, and it produced microbial sort of pharmaceutica. But Metchnikoff, independent of Pasteur, over 100 years ago, focused on terrain. And that terrain is the terrain that you're cultivating each and every day that you call your health. Inherent resistance to disease. The other part of it, and that's what's relevant to today's show, is that there's a cell in there, an immune system cell called a white blood cell, or a leukocyte, we call it. This leukocyte looks like an amoeba. When you see these blood cells under the microscope, they look like amoebas. And it's interesting, when you do this to different types of people, because sometimes you look at these cells under the microscope and their white blood cells are not moving. They don't seem to have that amoeboid-like locomotion. They don't seem like the kind of white blood cells that would chase down a bacteria or go in and clean out a rotted out part of your tissue. Got to remember, these white blood cells, when they exist not in the blood, but in the intercellular fluid, where all those scars are, where all that precipitation is, where all those metals hang out, so on and so forth. When these leukocytes, these white blood cells, when they live between the cells of your organs, they're called macrophages. And these macrophages are really the sanitation men of your intercellular space. They control the terrain. Now, concept about a macrophage or a white blood cell, or what Metchnikov, who you're looking at there, picture number 18, won the Nobel Prize, no joker, understood that these macrophages had an aggression to them, or they didn't. And if they were aggressive, life changed. You healed. You could go to battle, get cut, be on the verge of amputation, so on and so forth. And if you had an aggressive macrophage system, you could, one, resist disease, and number two, those macrophages, if aggressive enough, could clean out a scarred site. That if there was tissue destruction, if from chemical toxicity, from physical injury, if there was tissue destruction before you could heal, or as you healed, or what controlled your healing of these destroyed tissues, in part depended on the aggressivity, the aggression of the macrophage. And this was noted. And so Metchnikov, right from the beginning of microbiology, understood if you had an aggressive white blood cell, an aggressive leukocyte, really in your tissues an aggressive macrophage, you could heal things that your neighbors couldn't. Now, in the 1920s, and I'm going to cite a medical doctor by the name of Walter Guy, published an article in 1930 in a medical journal called New World. And the article said that there was something about hydrochloric acid that the stomach produces, that animals produce, that we all produce, that stimulated the aggression of the macrophage. That in fact, there was something called hydrochloric acid therapy. Now, it wasn't used to enhance digestion. It was used to cure terminally infected situations. Now, again, this is in the 30s. This is in the 20s. This is before antibiotics. And this is my point. If you've looked at the articles over the last 6 to 8 weeks, as much as possible, specifically the one on precipitation and disease, a number of shows ago, what you're finding and what I post onto the site are articles written in the 20s or the 30s or the teens, referring to other doctors, scientists like Metchnikov, who were publishing things that I'm going to tell you we've forgotten about, that had massive, dramatic effect on human health. Only, I'm going to call this the golden age. Not that the future's bleak, but I'm going to make my point, call those writings in nutrition, covered in dust and forgotten, were the golden age of nutrition. We ought to be looking backwards into the 1860s. Now, why? Why and how, in the unlimited amount of technology today, in the unlimited amount of literature about nutrition, why would I advise to go backwards? I will tell you why. Because that golden age, 1840 to 1930, 1850 to 1930, it created a special set of circumstances, and this is what I want you to really take into yourself. We had doctors then who were evolving technologies. Pasteur, Metchnikov, right there as an example. And these doctors, to find cure, had to first explore mechanism. In other words, before you decide how to cure a disease, you've got to understand the pathogenesis, how the disease is produced. So we have this special time frame, for the first time in human history, where doctors have finally assembled enough technology to begin to really get into the mechanisms behind what constitutes disease. So called to battle are the greatest minds across all the lands. Every scientist worth his salt, the best that we graduated all over the world, America included, put their minds to the task of understanding mechanism. Only there's something really, really special going on. They didn't have a pharmacopoeia yet. They didn't have pharmaceutical drugs to apply to the solutions. And this forced something. It persuaded something. It coaxed something. The natural tendency, after studying mechanism, looking for disease, the natural tendency without pharmaceutical alternative, because we hadn't developed them yet, the natural tendency is to look to how the body heals it by itself, naturally. You have to understand what we called the medical doctor of yesterday, of 1930, of 1920, 1910, 1890, 1880. Heavyweight minds, great minds, brilliant minds, passionate men were forced, even if they wouldn't have otherwise, they were forced to come up with therapy and cure because they didn't have a pharmaceutical alternative. You have to understand that, or you won't understand my tendency here to want to uncover the dust off the lost volumes. That's really big. Because what it tells us then, really, is that there's under this dust, an entire volume. There are litanies of basic physiological systems that we can trust, explored by the greatest minds of the time, and that all sought natural cure. So by 1930, when Walter Guy publishes in a medical journal on hydrochloric acid therapy, it's because he's studying a comprehensive volume of physiology that many types of doctors understood. And today, I doubt even doctors learn, truly. When you go into the literature to try to understand some of these articles, it points to nothing half the time because the literature's disappeared. Names are mentioned and few things are substantiated. They speak a language. These people, Walter Guy I'm referring to, Ferguson, in this case, people that understood hydrochloric acid therapy, were writing articles and just publishing findings, but there was a language between them that was a product of the understanding of the mechanism of health. You can't even find it today. It's not in medical school curriculums. It's not in chiropractic school curriculums. It's not in naturopathic school curriculums. It's not in acupuncture curriculums. It's not in Ayurvedic medical curriculums. It's floating out there in cyberspace. Huldah Clark had a piece of it. Walter Guy had a piece of it. Along the way, Dr. Rogers out of Austin, biochemical individuality had a piece of it. Diadamo had a piece of it. We have this scattered database out there in cyberspace. And this is our challenge today. Because what you're getting over the airways, what you're getting on YouTube, what you're getting in books, three quarters of the time is just cyber junk. Because it was never rooted in the hard science of yesteryear. What I try to give you, and what I'll continue to, is the stuff of yesteryear that was worked clinically, functionally, time and time again, that can't be argued.